I'm interviewing Stuart A. Barbanel about his work here at Goucher College. So to start us off, can you tell me about your job and what it entails and how you've gotten where you are?
My job, I teach painting, drawing, and design. But I think of my job as a much broader kind of charge. And I think of it in terms of, well, at least twofold. One is teaching about the creative process, which is the journey one makes from ideas to something more concrete, either on canvas or on paper or whatever. It doesn't have to be art. That's the big thing for me, is that creative process straddles all different disciplines. To go from imagination to something more concrete is a really interesting journey for me. I do it myself in my studio. It's very important for me to continue working in my studio, which I enjoy doing and is just a big part of my life. And it allows me also to be, I'd say, fresh when I come into the classroom, fresh about ideas and fresh about that creative process that I talk about. I always say that whatever business or industry you go into, career you're in, the creative process is huge. I also think very much about teaching visual literacy. There's so much visual stimulation in our lives today. And so it's really important for us to be able to understand it, I mean, in a deep way. In today's world of media and of institutions and corporations and governments, everybody's trying to get our attention. Everybody's trying to get us to vote for this or pay for this or buy this or go here or go there. So it's important for me as a teacher of visual stimulation to have my students understand how visual phenomenon is used to persuade us. Right now in my visual thinking class, we are dissecting one of the most famous bits of visual persuasion. That is a film by Leni Riefenstahl, Hitler's main propaganda filmmaker. I told the students just the other day that we're going to look at this film till you're really bored. But once we start to understand the underlying devices used to persuade, in this case, the people of Germany to back the war effort and back the in-power government, then it won't be boring. Then it becomes very interesting. Another example that I like quite a lot, especially when I teach life drawing, in the same vein, of course, it's a very different environment. In that class, I try to get models of every different size and type, gender, in order to show that the body is beautiful in every form. It is beautiful not in maybe a Hollywood sort of way, but beautiful in an aesthetic manner. And the study of the body in this class, I hope, allows people to be less dominated by our advertiser's idea of what a beautiful body is and our peer's idea of what a beautiful body is.
What has been the most significant roadblock you've had to overcome to get to where you are?
The difficulty of being an artist, number one, is that they're practical. You have to make a living. You have to have a place to work, and you have to have time and energy. And you also have to maintain a belief that what you're doing has meaning. So it's a very difficult start in the career, and also very difficult to get a teaching position, particularly in higher education. So there was a long period of time where I really struggled quite a bit with all those practical aspects, and it also took me a long time to land a teaching position. I worked, as many people do today, part-time in a number of different colleges and situations where I was working more than full-time hours, but still on part-time status, which meant no security, much lower pay, and so on. Today, I'm happy that I stuck with it, but anybody that goes into these kinds of fields, these kinds of creative fields without a direct job line, have to know exactly what the struggle may be. Some people get either lucky or just find themselves in the right place in the right time, or the kind of work they do is particularly popular at a particular time in the world. So just know what's ahead of you, or know what's possibly ahead of you.
And did you always know that you wanted to be an artist and a teacher?
Well, it's a funny story. In high school, I took wood. I signed up for wood shop. Wood shop was closed. It was filled, so they gave me art. And well, what I found was I could still make things out of wood, but I loved the intellectual part of making art. Not that other things don't have an intellectual component, but I could use my imagination, and I could work with symbols and metaphor and so on. And somehow that was a real natural for me. And in high school, I made this mechanical sculpture that moved, powered by an electric motor. And it was exhibited at the Baltimore Museum in a juried show. So I had this fun success early on, and then I decided that was a good direction for me.
Do you have any favorite stories from your time making art or teaching?
No, I think it's just a collective experience that, you know, I enjoy the students, particularly here at Goucher. I taught at Maryland Institute College of Art for about 8 years before I came here to Goucher, and I enjoyed those students as well, of course. But what I like about Goucher is that the students, I would say that the students are generally very nice, and they were also at MICA, but I find that nice is highly underrated. And the students are very accepting here of each other, and they're accepting of ideas. When I first came here, it wasn't necessarily the case. There was a much more insulated quality about the students. They had a certain conservative and protective coat around them, and it's much different now. Just the opposite, in fact.
What are you most proud of?
Hard question. I haven't thought about it in a while. But I think I'm proud of my ability to give the students here a positive experience, and also I've developed a way of teaching the skills that most students, if not all, can develop, so that art is not something that you're necessarily born with. It can be learned. And I'm also proud of an experience I had at my studio where Mr. Rogers came to our my studio's out on an old farm. Mr. Rogers came to our farm probably about 3 years before he died. He was doing a piece on the friend of mine that I own the farm with. I went out to meet him. He came, he asked if he could look at my work. So he came into my studio and had some very insightful things to say. He was smart and as nice as he could be.
Yes.
So cool. Who has been one of the biggest influences in your life, and what have they taught you?
Probably one of my closest friends, Barry Nemet, who's the head of painting department at Maryland Institute. Barry and I taught here at Goucher together. He would bring Maryland Institute students up from MICA, and we combined our classes. In general, having the experience of working with Barry, and I have collaborated on a number of art projects, and so as a teacher, I've learned a tremendous amount from him, and just in general as a person. He has an extremely positive view of life and a highly energetic kind of engagement with life.
If you could do anything, what would it be?
If I could do anything, what would it be? Maybe make life easier and more directed, or I should say, if life is more direct, positively directed for folks, young folks who are having a really hard time, that's probably what I would do. I recently had a really interesting couple of really interesting discussions with a guy in the gym where I work out, who is he works for the Baltimore City Schools, and he's sort of the target guy for the worst of the worst, or the most difficult of the most difficult students in the system. And he goes from school to school and works with these kids. And I could tell from how he talked about it that he really understood what he was doing and had great insight into this. An amazing effort on this guy's part. I got really excited about the conversation. I couldn't do that job, but I loved thinking about the underlying factors in these things. So I would say that would be just somehow reduce the suffering that goes on in particularly young people's lives.
How has the way you see yourself evolved over the years?
Oh, that's a good one. Did you make up these questions?
Yeah.
Good. Those are great. I think when I was a young artist, I was enamored by the idea of notoriety, fame, and a certain amount of hipness, I would say. You know, a certain amount of cool, whatever that means. And I, over time, as I evolved, I became sort of not only less enamored with all that, but kind of disturbed by all that, and kind of anti all that. And my goal was to enjoy working in the studio without necessarily the attachment to those false gods, I would say. And to see it for what it's worth, and to see that value is not about how cool you look, but it's about what you do.
What is the most exciting thing you get to do every day?
Well, in class is not the most exciting thing I do every day, but in class I do enjoy talking in front of a crowd. I think I have fantasy careers like I would love to be a talk show host, and I would like to be a stand-up comic. But you know, there's no way I would be a stand-up comic because the stress and the and I'm a shy person too, so you know, I don't think either of those careers would really be. But as a fantasy career, they're great. So I get to in class be a little bit of both of those, and I do kind of enjoy that. And the other thing is, I love to go to my studio and work, and that's exciting to me. And I love hanging out with my family as well.
What would you say that your future holds?
Yeah, I don't know what my future holds. My daughter, who's nine, asks me questions like that, and I say, well, you know, life is a mystery. And so the future is a mystery. I'm hoping that my future will hold more focused work in the studio and more excited students, motivated, excited students here at Goucher College, and contentment at home and watching my daughter, experiencing my daughter grow. And there's not a whole lot more one, I think, can ask for.